Registration at eventbrite.com.
It's a Jazz and Justice Festival, the WPFW way.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
I'm Weezy Muntali, host of African Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
You're listening to Heal DC. This is Joni, and right now we're going to hear a little music from Elise Bryant.
All righty. See ya, Hamba. See ya, Hamba, Kunkanyeni, Quincos. 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 See ya, Hamba, Hamba, see ya, Hamba. See ya hamba kunkanyene quincosi. See ya hamba, hamba, see ya hamba, hamba, see ya hamba kinkunyene quincosi. Now, see ya hamba means we are marking. So, some of us folks got together and did some healthcare verses, and they go like this. We are gonna win with healthcare now. 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 We are winning, winning, we are winning, winning. We are gonna win with healthcare now. We are winning, winning, we are winning. We wish we are gonna win with healthcare now. Are you happy with your HMO? Are you happy with your HMO? Are you happy? Happy with your HMO. Are you happy with your HMO? Are you happy? No. Are you happy now? How are you happy with your HMO? Are you happy? No. Are you happy? No. Are you happy with your HMO? Single payer is the way to go. 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 Single payer, payer, single payer, payer, single payer is the way to go. Single payer, yes. Single payer, yes. Single payer is the way to go. Last verse. We will win when everybody's in. 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 We will win. Yes, we will win. Yeah, we will win when everybody's in. We will win. Yes, we will win. Yes, we will win when everybody's in. I'm so honored to be here with Kay and Linda Ray Murray. Thank you so much.
And let me introduce everybody. This is Joni. I cannot be more excited about the hour in store for you right now. We're going to be talking about the National Day of Action for Single Payer Healthcare for All that took place on Saturday, this past Saturday, with more than 25 cities involved. We're going to hear an exciting feedback from Kay Tillo. But before I introduce Kay, let me just tell people who don't know, you just heard Elise Bryant, who is not only the president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women, not only the head of the DC Labor Chorus, she can also be heard every Thursday here at 1 p.m. with the Labor Heritage Hour. And she is one of my sheroes that are with us today. I am so thrilled to have my three of my favorite sheroes of all time. And two of them I've known for over 50 years. And that's starting with Kay Tillo. Kay Tillo, I first met Kay in Pittsburgh. She is an activist on many fronts, but in the past many years, she's been focusing on single payer, and she's going to share with us what happened on Saturday and a little bit about what's going to happen to come. Another longtime Shiro of mine, a healthcare Shiro that should be a household name to everybody, and that is Linda Ray Murray from Chicago. Linda Ray Murray has been active in Chicago for many years. She worked to try to keep the public hospital in Chicago open. She worked for a while in Canada, working on occupational health and safety. She was the president of the American Public Health Association, and she worked very closely with people who helped to create the single payer movement. So I'm so excited to have Elise, Kay, and Linda Ray Murray with us today. We're going to start with Kay Tillo, because there was a very important and exciting actions that took place on Saturday that many of us, at least here in D.C., didn't hear too much about, but a lot was going on. So Kay, welcome.
Thank you, Joni. I'm really happy to be there and to hear that beautiful voice from Elise and to talk about my favorite topic. On Saturday, there were, I understand that there were events in about 30 cities, and I'm not on top of it yet. You know, it just happened, and I don't know all of the news from all around the country, but I'd be happy to share with you what I know. I know that in Pittsburgh, they had a rally at Freedom Corner, and that one of their speakers was Representative Summer Lee, who is the representative from the Pittsburgh area. I know that in New Jersey,
And before we move away from Pittsburgh, Summer Lee is quite an activist, a wonderful congressperson. So maybe in the future we can get a recording of what she said, because she's a very important person that we don't hear enough about.
She is, and she spoke there. I don't think I have a news clip of it, but she was at that event in Pittsburgh, and that's important. You know, she's one of the co-sponsors of the National Improved Medicare for All, the single-payer bill. And then I heard that in Barrington, New Jersey, the New Jersey group went to the office of Senator Andy Kim in their effort to appeal to him to help us to get a healthcare system that will really work. So they were at the office of Andy Kim. I know that in Detroit, they had an event at a church. And I don't know the details on it, but I did see that Representative Rashida Tlaib sent greetings and put out an email in support of the event. So that was, you know, a really good thing. She's the congresswoman from Detroit. She succeeded the wonderful Congressman John Conyers, who was the person who introduced the first single payer. Well, that wasn't the first, but this era's single payer bill in 2003. So she's following there and was very supportive in her work. I know that there were three actions in North Carolina, and that, as a Southerner, that makes me happy. I think people should stop writing off the South and start reaching out to sisters and brothers in the Southern states who, more than anybody, need a transformation in healthcare and to build that up. And so I saw that there was a group called Down Home North Carolina, and they had an event in Burlington, and it was in the Burlington, North Carolina news that they were fighting for single payer on Saturday. And I think that the San Francisco group, going over to the West Coast, they started at Harry Bridges Park or Harry Bridges Pier, and they marched to one of the corporations that, you know, has a lot of the private interest in healthcare, which is our problem. The profits in healthcare are what are keeping us from being able to cover all of our people and making us spend far too much money. And
Kay, tell our listeners who don't know who Harry Bridges was.
He was a leader in the International Longshore and Warehouse Workers Union for many years, and really transformed the conditions for the West Coast when they organized that. And for decades, he was the leader. He's no longer living, but he was the leader of that union, which did amazing things. Not only did they improve the lives of their members, but they were out front in fighting against apartheid in South Africa, and on every issue that came along, they were leading the way in a very courageous stand of solidarity across the country. So that's, I don't know if it's a park. I'm not too clear on the coast geography.
But I knew that, Kay, too. I must say all three of our sheroes today are definitely very involved and have been for decades with the labor movement. So I knew that Kay could answer that question.
Okay. And I know there was one in Colorado, and there was one in Kittanning, Pennsylvania, in Armstrong County, which is a county that went for Trump. But they had an event, and they had a speaker from the Armstrong County Central Labor Council there. So I don't have all the news yet, but I'd like to tell you a little bit about what we did here in Louisville. Mm-hmm. We had a fantastic event. We worked on it a long time. We're just all volunteers in Kentuckians for Single Payer Healthcare. And we were able to get 17 co-sponsoring organizations. And one of them is the Kentucky State AFL-CIO. One of them is the Derby City Coalition of Labor Union Women. Shout out to Elise. Mm-hmm. One of them is the League of Women Voters of Kentucky. One is the Kentucky Poor People's Campaign, the Fellowship of Reconciliation of Louisville, and the United Auto Workers Local 862, and the Laborers Union Local 576. And I'm not going to be able to remember all of them, but I want to give you kind of a picture of the breadth of the movement and the extent to which we believe we're coming into a new era where people will once again rise up to demand the healthcare system that serves people, not profits, that removes the insurance industry and venture capital and private equity from our healthcare system, and that places single payer on the nation's agenda. I mean, that was the purpose of it. You know, many people, because of the very bad situation in our country, have been in despair about what to do. And so what we wanted to say to people is, look, we have majority support for this. We can stand up and make this demand, and the people of this country are ready to hear it and ready to push for it. So that was the effort to rekindle this movement for an improved Medicare for all and to put it on the nation's agenda and to say it is not enough just to stop these cuts. Yeah, we have to do that. You know, they're trying to cut Medicaid and Social Security and Medicare and the VA and science and education and everything that's good in our country. But we have to demand more. We deserve more to not just stop the cuts, but to end a failed healthcare system and to enact legislation that would actually remove the profits from healthcare and serve all of the people.
And Kay, you are affiliated with a national single payer group. Can you share that name?
Yes, it's National Single Payer. They're at nationalsinglepayer.com, and they're the organization that initiated this action and have been working on it for some time. and who shared the news around the country and began to bring out people to have hope and to say that what we believe is right, we have to put on the nation's agenda. I'm going to quote Congressman John Conyers here. What he said is, single payer is indeed achievable. And then he quoted a number of polls that showed we have majority opinion with us for an improved Medicare for all. I think it, well, I don't know the names of the polls. And then he said this in 2017, shortly before he retired. He said, it is not up to us to move to accommodate and move to the center. It is up to us to stake out the moral center and then invite others to join us there. So remember Representative Conyers, he had a great deal of wisdom and he pushed the single payer movement forward in his time. And now we have to pick it up and make it keep going. And I'm very hopeful that people will be inspired by their success over this May 31 National Day of Action, and that we'll find the ways to raise the spirits, to lift everybody up, and to begin to demand a bold solution that is as strong as the ugliness that we face with the lives that we are losing and the terrible conditions that are happening in our country in healthcare.
Absolutely. And that is Kay Tilla, one of my longtime sheroes, calling us from Kentucky. I first met her in Pittsburgh. And as I say often on this show, we have been fighting for universal health care in the United States since right after the Civil War. So this is a long time battle. We launched this radio show to Heal DC 33 years ago, exactly to promote the need for single payer health care. And that's the reason we started this show. We worked closely with I'm going to introduce and reintroduce Linda Ray Murray in a moment with Dr. Quentin Young. I worked with him since I was extremely much younger. He was one of the leaders of this movement as well. And so this is a long-term fight, but we're going to keep on fighting. And it looks like we might be seeing a ray of sunshine in this movement. So with that said, let me re-welcome Dr. Linda Ray Murray, calling us all the way from Chicago. Again, has been very active with this issue for many years. And again, I can remember when she was the president of the American Public Health Association, worked very closely with Dr. Quentin Young. But maybe, well, let me let Dr. Murray jump right in now. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Glad to see folks.
I can't tell listeners. I'm sorry. I'm so excited to have Linda Ray Murray on. She just, I wish we could have her on every day. But Linda, tell us a little bit about what you're thinking, anything you may want to share about the history of this struggle.
Well, first, let me just say, I was unable to go to our local demonstration, but I know we had a turnout at the Blue Cross Blue Shield headquarters. And I also know that one of our national leaders from the Physicians for National Health program, PNHP, Dr. Fagan, spoke at that demonstration. And I think what Kay was talking about is important for people to embrace and remember. When you're getting beat over the head, obviously the first thing you want to do is stop that beating, you know. And so we have no choice but to respond to these efforts to cut Medicaid, to these efforts to roll back our understanding of public health and making it more difficult for people to get vaccinations. All of these insults, people getting fired, there's so many insults, people being grabbed off the street because of you know, violating their basic rights. We have to respond to that, and people are responding, but I think we have to respond to it with some understanding of what's really happening and an understanding of what our real goals are. And so let me go back even a little further than single payer. we've been trying to fight for universal health care for over a century in this country. Single payer is our latest and best reform. I personally feel we should ask for what we really need, which is a little different than single payer. I just want to remind people, for example, of the years that Congressman Dellums introduced legislation in a much more comprehensive way than what we're doing now with single payer. They really tried to change how we educate health workers, et cetera. So if we look at where we are and how much the healthcare industry has changed. You know, I'm now retired from seeing patients, but even in my career as a physician, and even though my grandchildren think I'm ancient, you know, it's really not that long in the history of American medicine that I was practicing. To say, you know, there are basic things here that are being undermined. For example, why all of a sudden do we have a lawyer in a decision that used to be the discussion of experts on whether or not what action is as we why is that process of discussion and debate suspended because one person has notions that are not verified anywhere about the dangers of vaccine? This is something that takes us back. When we've had 1,000 people already with measles in this country and at least 3 deaths, that's probably an undercount. This is as a doctor, I'm not a pediatrician, but as a physician, to live in a country and have this epidemic that shouldn't exist. No child in the world, really, but certainly not in a rich country like ours, that should be coming down with measles. I am old enough to have grown up as a child before measles vaccines existed, and I certainly remember getting the measles, but I also remember the hundreds of children that were maimed and died every year when I was growing up from this virus. So the fact that we are sitting here and acting like this is normal times is really disturbing. And if we're not willing to stand up and say, we have to put the principles we believe in. Do we believe that every human being has a right to basic health care? That's the first question. Mm-hmm. I think most people in the world, and I think even most Americans believe that. And we have to be willing to say, this is something we can achieve. It's not something that's too expensive, quote unquote. It's that we can do this if we make a decision as a society to put our resources to the good of the people rather than to enriching the billionaires.
Absolutely. And you're listening to Dr. Linda Ray Murray, a longtime activist for universal health care for all, single payer, and more. Again, she is my number one shero in the healthcare movement. And I remember, of course, I was very involved when Ron Dellums proposed his bill. And that was thanks to another friend of Linda's and mine and Kay's, and that is Peter Orris, actually was the one who asked Ron Dellums as they were sitting on a plane together if he would sponsor a bill that would really talk about the need for universal health care in this country. And we worked with him for quite a while. Ron Dellums was on this show talking about healthcare issues many moons ago. But I think the issue that we should be focusing on today is how do we step up the organizing? We know that the majority of people in this country, and this has been true for decades, I think it's something like 80% or a very large number of people in this country would support a universal single-payer healthcare system. So it's a matter of the organizing. I'm going to ask Elise, if you want to jump in and anything you'd like to say, of course, Elise wears many hats. And as the president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women, we know that, and she knows that certainly labor has a key role to play. But anything you'd like to say, Elise?
Only that I'm just really excited to be on this program with these two fabulous sisters. and that this is the work that we've been called to do. And there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. This administration is literally done what the word apocalypse actually means in Greek. It means to tear the curtain off. And they have torn the curtain off. They want to reveal exactly what they believe in, which is like, we're not going to take care of you. We're not going to make sure you have what you need in terms of health and medical needs, because your life isn't that valuable to us. You can be replaced. And we know that. And we know in the labor movement, it's not as easily replaced as they thought. And I think they found that out as they started getting rid of federal employees, which is just a shocking, terrible crime. And I'm really excited about the work that we're doing and working with all those who demand that. This is the United States of America. We have a responsibility to
keep. Absolutely. And speaking of federal workers, we actually are going to be on for the second hour talking with federal workers about an upcoming town hall they have and more. So all three of these sisters will be with us in spirit in that second hour, focusing on labor and an upcoming important town hall about protecting our federal workers and protecting ourselves. But Elise, we'll come back to you. If I think one question is
real quick thing, I can ask Joni, don't mind, because this came to me when we started, is that years ago I was at an environmental justice conference in Detroit, and Linda spoke, and one of the things she said was, if we didn't learn anything else from the 60s, we need to recall that any effort to bring about real change requires multiple interventions. There is no one solution. We have to have multiple interventions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Linda, do you want to comment on that? And then we'll go back to Kay in a moment, too.
I'm impressed with Elise's memory. So, but actually, it's a good thing to bring up. I think, for many, many reasons, partially because we've been successful as a series of movements, not as successful as we need to be, but we've certainly made some progress and been pushed back. I think we have to ask ourselves as organizers, organizing is not just calling people and taking them to the polls or, you know, putting out on social media that we're having a demonstration at this place and time. We can do that. We have to really, what did people do before 1960? What did people do before 1860? Okay, what did people do before we had the infrastructure that we've had in the past 75 years? There was an abolitionist movement in this country in the 1600s. What do we know about that movement? and especially, what did oppressed groups do in the 1600s and 1700s and 1800s in this country? What did Native Americans do? And so when we look, that's what I call the infrastructure of not just resistance, of fight back. What's the infrastructure? What do you need to do that? The Highlander Center existed, I think, for decades before we began to see bus boycotts in Montgomery.
Tell people who would sell our younger folks.
The Highlander Center was a center. Actually, I'm bad. I should be careful what I say. I don't remember who sponsored it, but it was a center that taught folk music and also organizing to many leaders in the South. And it was one of the few areas where you could bring people together in the South of different races and have a discussion about the problems they faced. And that went on. They were not painting picket signs at the Highlander Center, but that builds the foundation in people's leadership skills.
And that's a good point, Linda, because we really don't have a place that's doing that now. And of course, the Highlander Center, Rosa Parks came there, Dr. King, and many others. And I'm sure Kay has experience as well, direct experience with the Highlander Center. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is Joni with To Heal DC for our first hour, 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. hour, where we're talking about what happened Saturday, the nationwide campaign for single payer that came on, that took place in over, I would say, 30 cities. And then where do we go from here? I'm sorry, did you want to Linda, you want to finish up your thought? Or you want?
Well, yeah. What I wanted to say is that we have to be aware that a lot of the infrastructure that existed, say, after World War II, has been weakened. Churches are smaller; they're less vigorous than they used to be. A lot of the civic organizations no longer exist. Even places to have a meeting on a Saturday, you know. It's one thing to go to a church basement, but if your churches are weak and they're not open on Saturday, okay, that's a problem. Unions have less visibility in many of our communities today than they did in the 50s and 60s. And so we have to work to build that infrastructure. We just had a training here in Chicago a couple of weeks ago around immigration issues. And one of our big challenges was finding just a place to meet on Saturday morning. Now, we were able to use a SEIU hall, which was good. But again, we have to spend time on this organizing infrastructure, places for people to meet and talk, skill building sessions for people to learn these skills, in addition to continuing national days of protests, et cetera. So we have to do it all at the same time, what the young people call multitasking. We really have to do that because we're really under attack. But we can't simply do the things that are on the evening news and ignore building the infrastructure and training of new generations, because we have to do both. Otherwise, we'll lose.
Absolutely. That's Dr. Linda Ray Murray calling us from Chicago, has been involved. And again, she's been my number one Shiro for a half a century. So I'm happy she is with us together with Kay Tillo. And I, one thing I'll say, Linda, is that actually here in the D.C. area, some of the churches, quite a number of our churches, are very involved. And I don't think we have problems getting space for meetings. They're out there on the front line. And I think, Linda, you recently had one of these big protests. I think Chicago, I think maybe perhaps it was against the genocide in Gaza, had tens of thousands of people out there in the streets. So you're doing well getting those folks out. But we have to continue with the organizing. Kay Tillo, again, Kay is one of the leaders of the National Campaign for Single Payer, was very involved with Saturday's Day of Action for Single Payer. Kay, what would you say about the need for continuing to strengthen our organizing around the need for health care, single payer health care, and perhaps lessons we can learn from the past about effective organizing?
Well, I would like to agree with Dr. Murray on a couple of things. She spoke about going beyond single payer, and that's something that many people are now talking about, is to make sure that we take the profit out of all parts of our healthcare system, the for-profit hospitals, et cetera. So that's indeed a part of the campaign. Yesterday, you know, our topic was health, not profit, and to remove the profits from the healthcare system. So she's right about that. And National Single Payer is now having discussions about, you know, can we improve the projected legislation, and looking at the Ron Dellums bill, and looking at, I think Barbara Lee carried it on there, and all of the things about what can we do to get the model legislation that we really need, and to build the movement. That's the key, you know, and the people have to understand, you know, we're always getting derailed by someone who comes along and says, oh, you don't have to take the profit out. We'll just, you know, build on the system that we have. And when people say that, it shows they don't have an understanding that the money that is being put into our healthcare system is leaking out into the hands of those, the medical industrial complex that is taking their share of the money and constructing barriers that are blocking people from getting care. So we see, you know, there's prior authorization, you know, it's not what your doctor says, it's what your insurance company says. And if they say that you can't get this treatment, they're not gonna pay for it, you know, we are stuck. We're stuck in a system that isn't working. And it's not something that hasn't been solved around the world. I mean, you know, industrialized countries and many that are not industrialized have established single payer or national health service systems and are doing much better job of taking care of their people. You know, we live, I think, 5 years less in this country because we're not getting care and health to our people. So we have to do the organizing, but we have to help people to believe again that the people can have some democratic impact on this country. You know, I was fortunate enough to have been at Highlander Center.
That's what I thought, yes.
met my future husband there. That's why this Kentucky woman is married to this New York City guy. because SNCC brought all kinds of people together during that time. And that
and Kate, I'm always surprised people, not everyone knows what SNCC stands for, and that's the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, very much a part of DC and our radio station. A shout out to our own Dory Ladner, who is an activist, SNCC, and heard always on this station. But to share a little more about the Highlander Center and why that was such a good, as Dr. Murray was saying, it was a great place to teach people about organizing.
Well, I think that, back in the 30s, it was Miles Horton and Don West who established it to build unions and to bring in rank and file people. I mean, it was based on the concept that ordinary working people have intelligence and capacity to do marvelous things within our country. And we just have to give them the ability to organize and to move. And so it was a pro-union in the 30s. In the 60s is when I was there. And at that point, it was involved with a great deal with the civil rights movement, with Rosa Parks and all kinds of things. It was also involved in literacy. There's a woman named Septima Clark who was active in bringing literacy to people across the South, and it was involved with voting rights and everything. But, you know, it's based on the idea that we, the people of this country, have the ability to make the changes. And we shouldn't sit back in despair, but find the ways to bring our fellow sisters and brothers into activity and into expression and into pushing it forward. And I believe that it's possible, and now it has to happen because we are in such big trouble with the environment, you know, with the pollution and with the, you know, the effort to destroy our unions, all of these things, if we don't fight now, we will lose what past generations have said to us. And we can fight, and we have the ability to do it. And don't give up on people. Help people to come into their own and to express the things and to organize for the things that we all have a right to.
Absolutely. And Rosa Parks, by the way, I think she learned a lot of what she used in Montgomery. She actually learned that in the Highlander Center, as I remember. But Kay, let's talk a little bit about how do we mount this battle to save Medicaid, which is our most urgent threat right now, and protect Medicare, and continue to organize for what we really need. How do you, any thoughts about how do we link all those together in terms of our organizing?
Well, I don't know. We had Dr. Karen Krieger in Louisville who spoke at our rally, and she brought with her posters that had the senators' phone numbers on them, because the battle right at this moment is that this bill that would make all these cuts was passed in the House, and it will be going to the Senate, and there, maximum pressure must be put there. I think that the Poor People's Campaign is working on that as well, but, you know, we should put as much pressure as we can in the streets and on the phones and whatever you have to do. And then we have to go on from there, because I think that the battle to take profit out of healthcare and to pass single payer, if we build a movement that demands that and understands that, that will be a big, big help in defeating the cuts. I mean, there's nothing that they will hate more than that the people are demanding and understand the need to remove the profit from healthcare.
Yeah, so that the people are united. And one last thing before we go back to Dr. Murray and Elise. You sent me this morning, which I didn't have time to listen to, several speeches from Saturday. Is there any way that listeners might be able to access some of those very powerful talks that were given around the country?
Oh, well, I will try to, I'm sure that that'll be up on nationalsinglepayer.com, and I'll try to get it up on the kyhealthcare.org. I don't have it yet, but we have speeches from the Kentucky State FL-CIO and from a number of auto workers who attended our rally, where Ron Hargrove, who is a local 862 of the UAW, came and made video for us. It's just a fabulous thing. So, yeah, I would say go to nationalsinglepayer.com and see if we can get the some of the video up. We did get news coverage here, and we were delighted that
that's terrific.
The whole segment on the Spectrum News about all of the events.
Okay, terrific. Well, we're going to be running out of time soon, but let me quickly jump back to Elise and then back to Dr. Murray. Elise, any thoughts that you might have about how to continue to bring in the labor movement on this battle around healthcare, or anything you'd like to say, Elise?
I don't think we have to bring in the labor movement.
Sorry for yes. And actually labor is, and we'll be hearing from labor in the second hour. So the whole next hour is going to be with people from the labor movement, but obviously the labor movement, we've been saying this, and Dr. Murray knows as well, that Dr. Quentin Young, and maybe Linda can say a word about him. He always said, it was his said for many, many decades, that we could never win for a universal health, single payer health movement without labor. It's never happened in any other country in the world, and that's certainly true today. So Elise is correct. Labor is involved, and thank goodness. So
we have no choice.
Yes, we don't have any choice. We need our health care. We need our basic services to live our lives. Dr. Murray, you can jump in, and then we're going to move in a moment to final comments. But
let me try to be succinct. So this is a conversation amongst family. I think we are still using bad practices to deal with this. If we concentrate, instead of centering Medicaid cuts or centering the illegal firing of thousands of federal workers, we should be centering the basic principles, taking the profit out of healthcare, guaranteeing American workers the right to organize. We still don't have that in this country. And there are so many things that are barriers to the ability of workers to organize, even labor unions. And until we center the principles clearly, because the battles are going to change depending on what idiots are trying to do what to us. So yes, we should oppose Medicaid cuts, but we've already privatized Medicare. The majority of people in this country with Medicare, which is historically and still the best insurance system we have in the country, have been tricked into these Medicare Advantage plans, which undermine even our poorly constructed Medicare program. So we have to be clear. We have to say every day, no, we need to take the profits out of healthcare. We need to be sure that people don't starve to death, whether it's in Gaza or whether it's on the south side of Chicago. We need to make sure that people have a right to organize and protect their rights in the workplace. And as we do that, then we can talk about these other battles that come up. Because Medicaid, I'm concerned about Medicaid, but if this bill goes through in the Senate, it will be for stupid reasons, but because of budget reconciliation and pay as you go, it will undermine payment, the financial structure of Medicare, which is a whole community that we, it's not that, I mean, the policy wonks have thought of this and those of us in healthcare are worried about it, but the general public isn't even aware that there's a connection between Medicaid cuts, which generally they oppose, and undermining the best system we have yet for a segment of our population. So I think we have to change our strategy and we have to center the principles that we believe in and that we fight for and use those principles to engage in battle on a whole range of fronts. When we do that, then it becomes possible to connect the cuts at NIOSH, which put in danger all the firefighters in this country, with cuts in SNAP, our food stamp program, with cuts in Medicaid. If we don't center our principles, then these just look like separate fights. And we know that they're not separate fights. We know that they're connected, but we have to find a way to express that daily in what we do and how we organize.
Yes, absolutely. And Linda, what is the deadline for this situation around the bill that may do
well,
all
this? This is our president's, what does he call it, big and beautiful?
Beautiful bill.
So my understanding is that the economists have argued if these cuts take place, that this will trigger this pay-as-you-go thing in that Congress passed a few years ago, and it will force a decrease in Medicare, for example. But there are other sort of sitting bombs and all of this nonsense, because what they're doing, I mean, think about the attacks on the university system. You know, you could easily say, well, why should we be concerned about that? But they have a plan, the right wing, not Trump, I'm not sure he can think, but they have a plan that allows them to get more and more control over our country and more control over money here and around the world. And again, we have to begin to articulate clearly what we need as human beings and what we believe in as human beings as our major way to organize.
Absolutely. You're listening to Dr. Linda Ray Murray, calling in from Chicago, one of the, I would say, great heroes of healthcare in the last, last half century. She's done many, many, many things. And also Kay Tillo and Elise Bryant. I'm going to make an announcement to make sure I get this in. We're going to hear in a moment our closing song by somebody named Pam Rogers, and in a group called In Process, which Elise is close with as well. And Pam Rogers is going to sing our outgoing song, Healthcare for the People, which we actually created when we first started this show. And Pam Rogers and In Process is having a community sing. That sounds like something we need about now. Sunday at the People's Congregational Church, 4704 13th Street. And that's from 2 to 4 this Sunday, June 8th, in the afternoon. A tribute to Bernice Johnson Reagan, who is much, much more than a founder of Sweet Honey in the Rock, was involved with in Mississippi Freedom Movement, Freedom Singers, etc. So that's Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. at People's Congregational Church. And again, coming in the next hour, we're focusing the total show is about labor and a very important a town hall meeting with the labor folks happening Tuesday, June 10th. So stay tuned for the 11 o'clock hour. But let's have a final word from each of you. Let's start with Kay.
Well, thanks, Johnny. Well, I'm thrilled to be able to talk about this, and I hope that the events of Saturday lead people to believe that it's possible to move people and to organize and to demand a bolder stance for the things that our people have to have. And I think it's possible that we will go forward from that and we'll make it happen. I know I just saw that Dean Baker, who's an economist that relates, I think, to the union movement, has now said he's changed his mind. He says he used to think that Medicare for all would not be for many years and we should have other intermediate plans. And now he says, I think it's possible that we can put it on the nation's agenda. And he did an interview with Adam Gaffney, who's a former president of the Physicians for National Health Program. So I think things are moving and we can do it.
Absolutely. And Kay Tillo, I'm going to try to really have you on as on a more regular basis and have Dr. Murray on as well as when we can. Kay Tillo, again, tell people how they can find out about the struggle for a single payer. What is the website?
They can go to nationalsinglepayer.com. And on there, there should be information about the National Day of Action. And if they want to catch up on Kentucky, it's kyhealthcare.org.
But otherwise, it's nationalsinglepayer.com. Okay, Kay Tillo, I love you. You're fabulous.
Thanks,
and Kay, as people maybe could tell, is also a longtime union organizer. Used to be organizing nurses in the Pittsburgh Hospital and much, much more. Elise Bryant, your final word for today. Is Elise with us? Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, we're going to win with healthcare for all.
And again, I'm very proud and love Elise Bryant very much. We're thankful that we can hear her all the time. But as it's not said enough on the radio, that she is the president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women, as well as being a fabulous singer and activist. So, Elise, I will see you soon.
All right.
And last but definitely not least, Linda Ray Murray, you have a minute to with your final words.
Well, we need to all follow the examples of Kay and Elise and fight harder today than we did yesterday and make sure we organize better tomorrow so that we can, in fact, win the basic rights that American people deserve.
Absolutely. And I don't know, Linda, is there any way that people can, I don't know if they can follow you or hear more about what's happening in Chicago? You have still some very, very strong activists there in Chicago.
Oh, we have lots of groups in Chicago. I don't want to call one out. Certainly for Single Payer, the organization that I spend my time with is PNHP, Physicians for a National Health Program.
Yes. And again, Linda Ray Murray worked closely with Dr. Quentin Young, who's another very important person in this struggle, who actually Dr. King, Quentin Young was Dr. King's doctor when he was in Chicago. So Chicago is doing some great stuff, as always. That finishes up for this hour. We're talking about the National Day of Action that took place just this past Saturday in over 30 cities around the country, National Day of Action for Single Payer. So check that out. Keep knowing that that happened. And we're going to move again in the second hour. We're going to talk with federal workers, including what's happening with veterans and what's happening with the VA, and a very important upcoming town hall on Tuesday, June 10th. With that said, we're going to go out with a song, as I mentioned before, by a group called In Process, that's having a community sing on Sunday. This song was our original theme songs many moons ago. So thanks, Mikey Masella, and let's hear that. That's this song.
For the people, healthcare for the people, healthcare for the people. Healthcare is for people, not for profit. Healthcare for the children, healthcare for the children, healthcare for the children. Healthcare is for people, not for profit.
WPFW swag in your life? Idols that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Freedom!
June is Caribbean American Heritage Month. Thus, CAWI, CPN, ICS, AFI, and Africa World Now Project present the 23rd DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th, at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring. The festival showcases the best in Caribbean cinema with films such as the U.S. premiere of Fanon and more. The DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th. Information at afi.com/silver. Or 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say
bless.
Yeah!
Thank you, family. We're so grateful for each and every one of you who made a pledge during our spring membership drive. Though we didn't quite reach the finish line, your love carried us far. Your pledges, your presence, your belief in WPFW. They remind us that this station is more than radio. It's a rhythm, a refuge, a revolution. We trust you'll keep walking with us, dancing with us, building with us, because this community-powered radio station rises with you and only with you. Thank you for keeping the beat alive.
We're blessed in the city.
WPFW, in collaboration with the Josephine Butler Center, present the Jazz and Justice Festival, Sunday, June 22nd, noon until 8 p.m. An activation of music, poetry, social justice teach-ins, visual art, wellness, children's activities, and more in Malcolm X Park. WPFW personalities Saiz Kamaluddin, Kaba Soul Singer, and Proverbs Reggae Band will be among the performers, with sets by DJ Lance Reynolds and Underdog. Also featured will be an art show curated by Adrian Ferguson of The Art of Noise and a community curated by Milani Douglas. Stay tuned to WPFW for updates and details.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Robin Holden.
Hi, I'm Miyuki Williams.
WPFW and Parks and People invite you to the Jazz and Justice Festival, Sunday, June 22nd, from 12 noon until 8 p.m. at Malcolm X Park.
It's a family-friendly celebration of culture, community, and resistance during the week of Juneteenth and the summer solstice.
Experience the power of WPFW's on-air voices brought to life with featured speakers Anthony Browder and Reverend Lennox Yearwood.
Live performances by Saiz Kamaluddin, Kaba,